Anyway, so I'm Jared. I've been part of City Church for a long time now, and with Rach, my wife, and we've got three children, Ben, Alyssa, and Josh. Josh is 20, Ben and Alyssa are 12 nearly. Alyssa's at home sick today, so that's why she's not here. And we didn't bring any of the bugs with us, in case you're wondering. Yeah, we'll take some back with us. So anyway, so it's a privilege to be here, and I really appreciate the chance to be able to come and share with you, and just a bit about me and about my life. As I said, we've journeyed with our senior pastors, Alan and Eleanor. I'm sure you've all met Alan and Eleanor. They're wonderful people, and so Eleanor's actually out at Coast today, out at Papama, our location out there, and I think Alan's in town, eh? So they're just awesome people. They very gracious, very loving, very supportive, and it is a privilege to be here, and I'm thankful to them, and thankful for God for still being able to journey with Him through the ups and downs of life, and I hope to never take it for granted that we get to do what we can do, eh? No matter what that is. So, this morning I just want to share a little bit about about where I've come from and parts of my journey. And I've realized in the last couple of years that I'm in a fight. I'm in a battle, and it's a real battle. We're in a war, and it took me a while to figure out the fact that I wasn't fighting against things that I could see. I was fighting against things I couldn't see. And you can read scripture and hear that all the time, but until you actually understand that, it doesn't have relevance, I don't think. And so, it's been a couple of years of battle for me for different reasons, but I feel like I've come out the other side a much better person, a much more thankful person. I believe that my depth of my faith in Jesus is stronger, and we'll just get better from here. So, so I'm just going to talk around about the war that we're in. When you're in a war, I guess the first thing you have to do is admit that you're in it. Because if you don't know you're in it, then you're not going to do anything about it. You're just going to let everything happen to you. So much of our lives can be reactive rather than proactive, I've found. Sometimes we can react to everything that happens to us instead of being proactive to eliminate the things that can happen. And so I think if we can get on the proactive side of life, we've got a much better chance of survival instead of just being like sort of brushed around, and then whatever happens is what you have to deal with. And there's lots of things that we can do to be proactive about life, and we'll get into some of those later. But I just want to pray, Lord, I just thank you for this time this morning. I thank you for these wonderful people to come out on a beautiful day like this and seek you, Lord God. Father, I pray that as we spend some time around you this morning, Lord, that you would strengthen us. We thank you for your grace in our lives. We thank you for your power, your Holy Spirit. We pray that we would leave this place changed and different, knowing you better, Lord, and more excited than ever about life and loving you. So if you've got a Bible, which I'm hoping you will, you can turn to that. Don't use your hands. I'm not sure how you're going to turn to it if you can't use your hands, but so I've titled this, I'm Off to Pick a Fight. Our whole lives we're told not to fight. We're told, don't fight. Hey kids, stop fighting. I don't know if you've had kids or grandkids or whatever, or you must have had kids if you've got grandkids, I would assume. But you can go on a car trip, right, and you spend half your time yelling at the kids or speaking very robustly to the children, saying, don't fight, don't do this, argue, kids argue, we're all told not to do that. But, I think for me, it's almost dulled down the sort of person that I am. I've been a fighter since the day I was born. I was born prem, my mum was really sick, I wasn't supposed to live. The doctor said, don't name that kid, he's not going to survive. But the Lord had other ideas. And so, I used to look on the start of my life as a negative, but as I've grown older and grown in Christ, I've realized that it's a positive. I'm a fighter, and many of you will be. There's part of our human spirit that wants to fight, but society will tell us not to. They'll tell us to just go along with the status quo. And this morning, I want to encourage you to go pick a fight. So it's, you know, when you're in a fight, it's easy. You know, we can blame things around us for what happens in life. We can blame lots of things. We blame the devil. And yes, the devil is real. The devil is out there trying to kill us. He's trying to rob us of everything. The Bible says he's sneaking around the world looking for people to kill and rob and destroy, because he's made his decision and he wants to take as many people with him to eternity of without Christ as possible. So he's literally trying to kill us. And I mean, we can blame a lot on him, no doubt about it. The other thing we can fight with is the world that we're living in, and especially, you know, we start getting into days like this where, you know, the culture of the world is changing so much that, you know, instant, with the way that the world is instant, you know, this virus thing and that, we know about it straight away. And it's a thing. Everything's just a thing. You know, plagues are nothing new to planet Earth. You know, there's been plagues all through history. And this is, in some ways, a new one, but it's nothing new. And so we can sort of get a bit excited about things and like, oh, man, it's all, you know, we're just here all gloom and doom. You know, and it's like the world sets our atmosphere. But the world doesn't set my atmosphere. I live under the Lord. The Lord God is in control. The Lord God has everything in his hands. He spoke it into being. He doesn't allow the devil to do anything that he doesn't allow. Satan has no power other than what Christ allows. And so we've got to remember that. So the world wants to trap us in this atmosphere of me, myself, and I, and thinking about me, thinking about what I can get, thinking about, you know, my next step in life, how I can succeed, what I need to do. I need to do this, this, and this, and that will be success. So that, you know, we're fighting that all the time. But here's the thing, the biggest thing that I think that I struggle with is me. The biggest thing that I struggle with is me. Yep. Fight the devil with stuff going on, the world for sure. But my biggest problem is me. Me, myself, and I. The greatest commandment, Matthew 22, if you've got it there in your Bibles. I'll just turn to it. It's a bit wobbly. That's all right. Thanks, bro. And I forgot to bring my glasses, so I apologise in advance. Getting to that wonderful stage of life. Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. It's a lot easier to love the Lord with your heart, because our hearts are moldable, like we feel with our hearts. And in our will is our emotions and our decisions and that. It's kind of easier to love the Lord with that. But our mind is a different thing, because our mind is always with us. It's kind of who we are, right? Like it can be really hard to change our minds, but it can be changed. And so in Romans 7, if you want to flick over there, I'm just going to have a couple of scriptures this morning. I like to use the Bible. Romans chapter 7. And this is where it becomes obvious to me that I'm not on my own in this. So Paul the Apostle wrote this. Romans 7. Man, I wish I had my glasses. I need a longer arm. No, it's okay. I just need to concentrate here. Far out. For what I do is, I know that nothing good lives in me, that it is my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, I do not want to do, this is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's the sin living in me. It's like one of those Dr. Seuss books, eh? And I'm like, okay, so this is Paul writing this. This is the Apostle Paul, right? I don't know if you've ever looked at Paul's life, but he's like a hero in the faith. I mean, that dude was legit. He, you know, he was like out crucifying Christians because he was so legalistic about it. And then the Lord took him and gave him this amazing transformation. And from that day on, he pretty much changed Christianity as we know it, and amongst others, of course. I mean, he wrote 13 of these books in the New Testament. He was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked. He went through everything could possibly have, and he still was able to say, you know, Lord, I trust you in that. And yet he can write this, you know, man, the things I want to do I can't do, and the things I don't want to do I do. So I'm really encouraged to know that there's someone else around like that, and I'm sure you guys will be as well. And I'm like, okay, well, this is something that everybody struggles with. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I've spent many, many times over my life, you know, reacting to a circumstance or situation in my life and thinking later on, man, why did I react like that? I didn't want to do that. You know, I might come home from work grumpy and kick the cat and, you know, robustly speak to the children about not placing their shoes, you know, exactly where they're supposed to be, and then walking away going, why did I even do that? And there's this thing working against us, and it's ourselves, it's our mind, and it's it's a big thing. I think it's the Passion Translation, Paul. The scripture, Paul says, I am a mystery to myself. And I thought, that's a great way of putting it. I'm a mystery to my own self. The things that I want to do, I just don't do. Paul spent a day in heaven, if you knew that. God showed him the third heaven, and I'm not sure if he went there in like his body or his mind or whatever, but he went there and he came back. And imagine going there and then coming back to live life, and then carrying on doing what you know, knowing what you're seeing. Like, it's just incredible that. And so I guess it comes down to, because obviously your mind is the top of your head, it's the top of your body, right? It's the top of you. So everything in life comes from the top. Strongholds are at the top. If something's got a stronghold over you, it's normally at the top. If you look at military things and all that around the world and over the centuries, they all build things on top of a hill, so they've got, you know, it's hard to get up there, and they've got good view, good access, and so it becomes a stronghold. And so when we're dealing with these thoughts and these patterns of behavior, you know, we're fighting strongholds. And the Bible is very clear about strongholds. It says in 2 Corinthians that we're to pull down strongholds. We're to pull them down. We're to do whatever it takes to get rid of the strongholds in our lives. And because if we don't deal with them, they'll always be there. And when we're dealing with something in our lives, something that holds us back all the time, something that speaks to our mind, in a negative way, we need to root that out. We need to find exactly where that comes from, which is, sozo is a good way of asking those questions. If you get a chance, go and do a sozo. It's you pray through things, and it can be a really big help, because sometimes we react to things and that we don't even know where that comes from. But that's good. We've got to pull them down and shatter them. I love David and Goliath, where David, you know, kills Goliath and he's dead, but he goes the extra way and gets a sword and chops off his head just to make sure. Like, when you kill something, you want to make sure it's dead, because you don't want it to come back and you think it's dead, but it's not. I've had those things in my life as well, as I'm sure you have, where you think you've dealt with something, and it might be months, days, years, whatever, later on, and then, hello, I'm reacting to that again. And so you've got to put it to death. That's why the word says when we repent and get saved and follow Christ, we're dying. We're dying to ourselves. So not only do we pick a fight with ourselves, we kill ourselves, our spiritual selves. And it comes down to a personal response, a personal responsibility. you know, you're not going to change anything if you don't first take responsibility for it. And I've spent many times blaming lots of other things, as I said before, and not really taking responsibility for it myself. And I found that as I own up and say, you know what, this is my problem, even though it may not seem like it, it may not seem like that I'm the one at fault or I'm the one that's causing it. You know, once you take responsibility yourself and you do what you can about it, you find that situations and life can change pretty quickly. And it's almost like counteractive, even if it's, it's really hard to do. And yeah, and just to be more proactive, like I said earlier, and not reactive. People ask, things like getting healthy. You know, I've spent a lot of time in the last year getting healthy. I got to a place where I was really unhealthy, and it just affected my whole life. My mental state was down. I got a bit depressed and got a bit, just couldn't be bothered doing anything. Had no get up and go. So I got a bit heavy. Just used to eat more rubbish, and it was like this perpetual downhill spiral. And I remember just one day knowing that, if I don't do something about this, if I don't take responsibility, you know, this is going to be really unhealthy. And I'm still young and still can do something about it. So I kind of decided and made little steps to change. And then as the change came, then you sort of get more excited because you can see changes and you're feeling better. And it's a big mental game as well. It's you're dealing with 30 or 40 years of your self-talk, you know. And so it's a big thing, but you can do it, you can change. And so for me now, it's more about doing today what I can do for tomorrow. So it's not about doing today what happened yesterday to try and fix that up or repair it. It's like, what can I do in all areas of my life that will set me up better for tomorrow? And I hope that encourages you. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. So often we're just told to do things. We're told to conform. We're expected to conform to what the world says we have to do, to what's going on around us. And that was it. I was talking about the atmosphere before, you know, and it's pertinent at the moment too. Like, I don't want to downplay any of this viral thing and that, but the reality is that, you know, the world's whipping itself into a frenzy over this, and yep, there's some legitimate things, and that's way above my pay grade. I don't know anything about it really, but I do know that that I'm not going to conform to their way of thinking. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not going to be obedient, I'm not going to do things that are wise, but I'm not, you know, like I said before, the world's been plagued with stuff forever. The Lord's got us through that. And, you know, and the Lord's going to get us through this. You know, nothing happens. And I think you've just got to live like that. Be responsible, yeah, but I don't think we need to live in a panic. Because to me, that's conforming to their way of thinking, because there's no hope without Jesus, right? We have the hope of the world and the light of the world. So, and I believe that we can change the atmosphere. I believe as we get our thinking right and we just trust the Lord and we don't listen to our inner self saying, you know, oh man, I've got to do this and this because that's what I'm told to do or that's what feels right. You know, if I do what the Word says, if I follow what God says, then I'm going to be okay. And you know, this Bible I still believe is relevant. It's as relevant today as it was yesterday and it was when it was written, and it will be relevant long after I'm gone. It's you know, God is in control. God is in control, and I trust that, and I believe in that. And because without that, you know, we're like, what? That, to me, that's what faith is. That's okay, God, you've said this, so I trust and believe that you're going to do that. So, and it says in the Word that, you know, without that faith, without that believing, it's impossible to please God. So, it's kind of, yeah. So, yeah, so I just want to encourage you to start challenging yourself, challenge the way that you have always lived isn't necessarily the way you have to live, isn't necessarily the right way. It's not necessarily the wrong way, but we've all got habits. We've all got things that stick in our heads that stop us from doing things. And I believe that we need to be people in this age that live life to its fullest. We grab opportunities, no matter what age or stage we're at. You know, that has no relevance, really. And to actually start working on it, to actually take responsibility, to say, you know what, okay, I know that this thing in my life has held me back for years. And, you know, I had a really low self-esteem when I was a kid at school. I had the trio of things. I had teeth braces. I had glasses with this big, like, brown patch thing over it because I had a bung eye. And I was quite big. And, you know, like, I just got hammered at school and I came out of school. Like, it's amazing that anyone makes it through school, right? Like human beings are really horrible to one another at school. Teachers are wonderful. Yeah. I had a music teacher once that told me I'd never be a drummer, and I tried to find out where he lived when I put my first CD out and was going to send it to him, but but anyway. But yeah. So, I mean, looking back now, it affected everything that I did in my late teens, my early 20s. You know, I had kids and you know, I didn't even know how to deal with that stuff. And I realized that although I thought that I was just me and this is how I am, you know, it was just years of all this stuff. And I found that it really affected me. And I remember going on my first, I do bush runs and that, and I really love them. Like, I hated running at school. When it was cross country day, I'd get the virus and have to self contain for a day or two, but the first bush run I did and I completed it, and it just, I don't know, something shifted in me, and I can't even explain what it was except that I felt like I'd beaten something. So can I encourage you to do something that you think you could never do, even if it's just to prove to yourself and your mind that you can do something that you thought you could never do, no matter how small or big it is, and just to keep challenging yourself. Because once you do something, you're like, man, I can actually do that. Far out. And you try something else, and it just changes the way you get up every morning. It's like you want to live life. You want to actually do things, and you start believing that and what the Word says about you. So it is possible. And this morning, just wrapping up, I just want to ask one question. I don't know if you guys want to come and do your thing. I'm supposed to speak for half an hour, but that's not happening. It's too nice a day out there, eh? So I just want to encourage you. I don't know if any of that made sense, but you know, the truth is that until we can fight with ourselves and not just give up and not just go along with what we've always done, we're never going to win. We're never going to get ahead. We have to fight with our minds, and that comes through breaking down the strongholds. And you know, we do that through prayer. We do that through reading God's word. We do that through praise. So can I encourage you, when you have your prayer times and your time in the word and you're spending time with God, say, Lord, what is the stronghold in my life? What is the thing that really is the thing that I keep coming up against? And I mean, it might be obvious. You might know straight away. But can I encourage you to try and pull that down, to be active against it, fight it, like actually fight it, and don't give up. Don't think that it's unachievable. And I believe as the strongholds leave, then it gives your mind and your heart and your spirit a new place for God to come in and rebuild stuff. So if we just stand, we're just going to maybe, we'll just close our eyes and maybe just give that some contemplation for a little minute. You know, what is those things in your life, you know, like me, where you've just put up with it for your whole life because you thought that that's the only way, but what are those things? Because I know that if we bring those to the Lord this morning, He can help deal with those. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this word. Lord, I thank you that you, Father, love us so much. and you want us to live a life full. You want us to live a life in you and enjoying life and doing new things and trying things and living to the full on this earth before we come and be with you for eternity, Lord, and make the most of our time down here and not battle with the same old things, the same old chestnut going round and round in circles, Lord. So today we just want to ask you to quicken to us those things that hold us back, those things that would stand over us, those things that would speak into our minds, yes, negative thoughts, Father, and we just offer them to you this morning. Say, Lord, have your way in our lives. Forgive us for trying to deal with life ourselves, Lord God. Forgive us for not believing in your word and your truth. So Lord, we just want to thank you for this life. I want to thank you for these awesome people here today. I pray as they go into this week that they would challenge themselves, Lord, and let you challenge them also. And they would do something new, do something that stretches them and challenges them, Lord. I pray your blessing in Jesus' name.